If you have your Bibles, would you open them up with me to Hebrews chapter 12? We're coming to the end, all right, of Hebrews. Hopefully you've enjoyed the book of Hebrews. I'd ask you how many have enjoyed Hebrews. But at the same time, I know I get weary after the same thing, day after, you know, week after week after week. You might be getting weary. But today we do kind of turn a corner. All right, the chapter 12, chapter 13 are going to be a whole new corner which we're going to turn. Chapter 11 is kind of the pinnacle. We're on the downhill slope now, as chapter 11 is the whole by faith, the Hall of Fame of faith. If you know anything about Hebrews 11, the Hall of by faith, Moses by faith, Abraham by faith. And so we've done that. We've completed that. And now we are turning the corner and are heading into Hebrews chapter 12. So, if you've got your Bible open to that, Hebrews chapter 12, or your phone device, or whatever it is you're going to use for scriptures this morning, we're going to read three verses. This is such a rich passage that many of you could probably almost recite it from memory as we look at it. I would try it, but I probably won't get it exactly right, so I will follow along in the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1 and reading verses 1 through 3, as we're going to look at just these three passages, these three verses this morning. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll take the time to look at this passage. Father, thank you again this morning for the word that you have given to us, for the encouragement it provides for us, and Father, for the challenge it gives to us as we seek to, Father, run the race that you have set out before us. And so, Father, I pray that as I've studied this passage this week and as your Spirit has directed me in the studies of it, so now your Spirit will utilize the studies you've given to me to bring forth your word with great truth. And so, Father, I do pray now that your Spirit would direct my thoughts and my attentions from your word unto your people. And I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's in his name we pray, and for his glory we ask it. Amen. Well, as we come to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, we basically are turning the corner from the hallway of faith. How many of you have seen the movie Rudy? Anybody seen the movie Rudy? Rudy's about the young man who basically was too small, too slow to play football, but his dream was to always play football for Notre Dame. And so he ends up going to Notre Dame, and the drive in his heart causes him to strive hard to become a football player. But there's a scene in Rudy, and I was going to play it this morning, but I decided not to. There's a scene in Rudy where basically when they come through the tunnel, and as they run through the tunnel, everybody runs and jumps and hits the sign over the archway as they go out onto the field. And there's a sense in which I see as we turn Hebrews chapter 12, as we turn into Hebrews chapter 12, that's kind of the scene that I look at it as. Hebrews chapter 12 throws open the doors of the Hall of Fame and allows us to leave behind the figurines, the busts, or whatever, you know, you're talking about, the statues of those who have lined the hallway, and allows us to bust out, or to break out onto the field, where now we get to take on the responsibilities given to us to run the race that God has set out for us. And so Hebrews chapter 11 is, like it says, the great pinnacle of the Hall of Fame of faith. And now we're on the downward side, where now we turn from that which is theologically oriented to that which is practical oriented. As we look at Hebrews chapter 12 and chapter 13, we're going to get into some practical aspects of living the life of Christ, of running the race, of persevering, and of enduring in our faith. And so we're going to see some great opportunities. I'm looking forward to next week. Just to give you a little heads up, next week we're going to look at godly discipline, for God disciplines those whom He loves. All right, that will be a great time. I kind of am looking forward to that, to be honest with you, to preaching that passage. How many of you grew up with a mom and dad who utilized the board of influence? Okay. The board of education? Okay. We're losing that idea today. In fact, if you actually happen to do that, you probably could be called by DCFS and arrested and your children taken from you. But we're going to look at that next week. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity of doing that. And so we want to look at that. But this morning, we want to look at the idea of what it is to run the race marked out for us with perseverance. What is it as a Christian to run the race? Now, let me ask you this question. I know Sam's here, because I know Sam is a runner, all right? How many of you know Sam ran the Boston Marathon last month, okay? And most of you probably knew that. So Sam's not just a runner, he is an accomplished runner, all right? Now, if I'd have Sam, embarrass Sam and have him come up here, you would find out what a runner looks like and what a non-runner looks like, all right? Thank you, Tyler. All right. But you're going to be a walker in a couple of months, right? So you will walk. Yes. Okay. That kind of helps me to bring my introduction. So let me ask this question. How many of you would consider yourselves a runner? Need I make my point? This morning, we're going to look at, in fact, Sam, I kind of thought maybe I should just call you and say, Sam, you want to take this one? All right. Need I make the point that we are called to run the race, but we don't like to run? When I was in college and I would drive to college, the parking lot where I'd park my car was at one end of the campus. The dorms were at the other end. I thought, I should take up running. You know, I'll just run from the car back to the dorms and just kind of take up running. And then they talk about, you know, hitting the wall and breaking through the wall. I just, boom, hit the wall and fell flat, all right? I am not a runner. I don't even like to think about running, let alone those guys who do it for a living. But again, the challenge here is we are called to run the race, and to run the race with perseverance. And so we recognize that we are all in the Christian race. We are all in the race. If you receive Christ as your Savior, if you become a believer in Christ, then you yourselves have been called to run the race with Him. That's what the illustration is here that we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 12 as we look at this. But we also recognize that the Apostle Paul talked about running the race. I have fought the fight. I have what? Finished the race. Now there is the crown set up for me. I've kept the faith. Now I'm waiting the crown that is set up for me. And in Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is, Paul says that I didn't want to run the race in vain. So Paul often used the idea, you'll look at that when you do your small group thing. Paul often used the idea of a runner in a race, an athlete who competes. And so the analogy is often used in Scripture, and here the writer of Hebrews picks it up also and says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Literally, you go back and you break it down and you do the actual studies that I did this week. Let us run the race is the only verb in the whole passage. All right? Maybe considering, if I'd have to go back in verse 3, consider him. But the rest of it all revolves around what it is to run the race. So we're all in the race. Now, I want you to know we all run differently. Some of us run fast, some of us run slow, and some of us walk fast. All right? We all run differently. Now, we need to recognize this morning as we look at this passage that the Christian life is what, a sprint or a marathon? We know it's a marathon, isn't it? Okay? And so if you come, and I thought about this. I thought, you know, the Olympics is coming up maybe, what, in a couple of years here or something like that, maybe next year or something like that. When is the Olympics? I think next year coming up. And you start to realize the fact of why is it that those who run long distance wear short pants and baggy pants, and those that sprint wear tight, long, you know, like down to the knees. I'm like, I don't know. But anyways, we all run differently, but we need to recognize that we're running in a marathon, not in a sprint. That's why we need to persevere. We need to have endurance as we run. And then thirdly, I put down here, we all have different races or different courses that we run. Our ups and our downs, our turns and our straightaways, the different courses that has been marked out for us. And so if you're going to run the race, you must run the course that has been set for us ahead of time. And of course, who's established the course? We know God has. God has established different courses for us all to have to run in order to make it to the finish line, where the goal is to complete the race, to receive the reward, and to as well be welcomed into heaven by our Heavenly Father with the "well done, thou good and faithful servant." So I've given you here four keys to run the race. We want to look at them quickly this morning, and then we will as well be dismissed to go enjoy your Memorial Day events. So we want to do that. Before I do that, though, I neglected to do this, all right? How many of you have served in the military? How many veterans? Jim's a veteran, okay? Ryan? So, all right, only a couple this morning, all right? Let me ask you this question then. How many of you have lost a loved one in the military? Anybody? All right, again, Memorial Day is all about what? Remembering those who have died. It's not about just getting a day off work so that we can start the summer, all right? To be reminded of the fact that two-thirds of all suicides that are committed by veterans. So, all right, we do need to remember that. So, all right, let's start with the keys to running the race, all right? Are you ready to run? You don't sound too ready. All right, if you're ready to run, say, "Let's go." All right, good. All right, here we go. We're ready to run. All right, number one, if you're going to run the race, the first thing I want us to do is to look around. Look around you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we're thinking here then of those who have gone before us, those who have set the pace, those who have completed the course, those who have run the race and are now seated and waiting for us to complete the race that we run in. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us back to the great founders of the faith that preceded us, of Enoch and of Abel and of Cain, or excuse me, of Abel and of Moses and the rest of them throughout Noah and the rest of them throughout Abraham throughout chapter 11. And now that we have seen these Old Testament saints and we've looked at the faith that they have, let them be that which encourages us to run the race. Now, I was thinking about doing this with the Cubs, but then I thought, well, let's see, who were some really great Cubs players? And I thought, well, Ernie Banks and who else besides that? Lou Brock was a Cub, right? Right. And then, so then I thought, well, let's go to the Cardinals, all right? Let's see, who do the Cardinals have? Ozzy, okay, Lou Brock. You know, they got a couple of them. But then I thought, and I was going to actually play a clip at this point in time, but we couldn't pull it up on the internet. I was going to play a clip from The Sandlot. How many of you seen the movie The Sandlot? All right, The Great Bambino. Ooh. But anyways, I thought of Yankee Stadium. Now, can you imagine playing in Yankee Stadium? Now, I can't imagine even being there. I've never even been there. But just imagine that. If you want to think about great ball players, to me, you think of the Yankees throughout history. Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Yogi Berra. All right, these are greats that most everybody knows about, right? The Great Bambino. With them. And then even on up today to Derek Jeter or other ones who have played. And I could mention George Steinbrenner, but then maybe we get a few boos. But anyways, I even think back the days of Billy Martin. Right? Those of you who want to join me in the old days, back to when Billy Martin coached the Yankees. But again, the idea here is the fact of there are these Old Testament saints who have played before us that we now follow in their footsteps onto the field to run the race as they ran it by faith. And so there is a sense in which to look around at the Old Testament saints that are recorded in Scripture for us as an example to encourage us as we run the race. So the writer says, look around at the great cloud of witnesses that you see around you who are cheering you on. But as well, the challenge was given as I listened to sermons this past week about from Hebrews chapter 12. But what about those who have gone on before us even today? How many of you would say, I have somebody in my life that was a dear saint that impacted my life and has gone on before us? And so there is a sense in which as we look at the great cloud of witnesses, yeah, we can think of Moses and Abraham and David and Daniel and all those people. In fact, the question kind of came to my mind when I was preparing. It was kind of like, okay, when you get to heaven, who's the first one you want to talk to? Okay? Who do you want to catch aside? Daniel, what was it like to be in the lion's den? The lions were calm. We just petted. It was a great time. Or to think of Noah, what was it like to get all those animals onto the ark? So, all the different questions we could ask of the Old Testament ones, but then what about the modern day ones? The ones that impacted our lives. The ones that are basically now able to be join that great cloud of witnesses that are there to cheer us on to complete the race, to finish the course. As I said, that Paul says, to finish the race, I've kept the faith. And so we need to begin, as we run the race, to look around and see those around us who are there to encourage us on. The great cloud of witnesses that surround us. Okay? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, secondly, now I used to keep my alliteration, I said, look down. Now I know when you're running a race, if you're looking down, you're not going to finish the race very well. That's a bad position to be in, to where looking down. But here's the passage I want to look at. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that marked out for us. So the writer of the Hebrews is saying, let us take off everything, drop everything that's going to keep you from running the race. Anything that would hinder you, any burden that you would have that would keep you from running the race, let's drop it. Anything that would entangle you, cause you to trip up, let's drop it. Now, when I was in 7th or 8th grade, I did a little bit of track and field, but not really much. I tried high jumping, but you can tell I'm not really physique to get this much weight off the ground as well as anything else. And running wasn't my thing, I've already said that. But I did notice that when I began doing track and field, that track shoes are really light. Did you ever notice that? You don't wear football cleats to run track. It really doesn't work. And again, you come in all your warm-ups, but when it comes time to run the race, what do? You take off everything that would slow you down from running the race in order to run with perseverance. And so look down around you and see the things that you have had to drop in order to run. Now, a long time ago, how long ago? A long time ago, I was junior high. One of my best friends and I would take my summers and I would go live on my uncle's farm. If you head up Route 40 and you end up going through Rock Falls and Sterling and keep going, you will eventually come to the small town of Milledgeville on Route 40. Milledgeville was the town in which my mother grew up in, and so my uncle and my grandma lived in the town of Milledgeville, and so I would go spend the summers with my uncle, help him make hay, do different things on the farm. He was a dairy farmer, And so I would go up there and help him. And one of the things we would do in the summertime is, across the street from him was one of my best friends, still one of my best friends. But he's one of those friends you never see except on Facebook. You know what I'm talking about? All right. Across the street was one of my best friends. And we would take the tractor, the old 3020, and we would drive it down through the pasture lane to the back pasture, and there we would go fishing. They had a little Elkhorn Creek run through the back pasture of my uncle's property, and we would go down there and go fishing quite often. But I still remember the opportunity when one day we came back and a storm was brewing. And we were down there with the tractor. We got in the tractor wouldn't start. So we're like, what do we do? We could see the clouds coming. We could feel the wind beginning to pick up. So we decided, let's get out and let's run for home. Now this was probably, I'm going to guess, but then again, I'm not a runner. So, you know, 10 yards seems like a mile, you know. Okay, but I mean, I would say this is probably at least a half a mile, if not a mile, that we had to run. And I was in work boots. You know, on the farm, you know, you don't always wear tennis shoes. Sometimes you wear work boots to watch where you step. And I had boots on, you know, the kind that come up to your knee type thing. And we decided to take off running. Now, I don't care what type of encouragement my best friend would give to me, because the encouragement, this is going to date me, the encouragement would be like, come on, Gail Sayers, let's go. How many of you know who Gail Sayers is? Okay? This was prior to Walter Payton days, okay? Come on, Gail. Have you seen Brian's song as well? All right, I'm dating myself even more. All right, let's run. Now, let me tell you, how far did I get before I stopped running? Because I couldn't take off the weights that were hindering me from running. Now, we did make it. To make a long story short, we made it home, and everything was safe and sound. We had to go back down and get the tractor later, but we did make it home without the storm. So the writer here is saying, let us lay aside, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Now, I put down here, I don't know about you, but what I want us to do is I put down here three things that hinder me in running the race. I don't know if they hinder you or not, but the three things that hinder me as I thought about it. The first thing that really hinders me from running the race I put down is discouragement. When I get discouraged, the last thing I want to do is to run. Of course, the last thing I ever want to do is to run. But when I get discouraged, running is one of the things I don't look forward to. Discouragement is when I begin to ask myself, is it really worth it? Does this really pan itself out? What if I can't keep up? What if I can't keep doing it? What if things get worse instead of better? Yes. We all can get discouraged, can't we? Christian life is not the life of a bed of roses, of ease. Running the race is not easy. And in the race in which we run, we can become discouraged and want to give up. The writer of Hebrews says, set aside every weight to run the race. Folks, if we get discouraged in running the race, we will want to give up and will not complete the race. Secondly, I put disappointment. Let's lay aside discouragement. Let's lay aside disappointment. Disappointment is when we thought God was going to do this. We thought if we become a Christian, our life will get better. We thought that this is the way God would do, and we become disappointed. We prayed about it. We asked God to do it. We turned it over to God. We left it with God. We desired God to do this. And God didn't answer our prayer the way we thought He would. And we can become disappointed with God. And then, why do we want to run a race? If God isn't going to do this for me, if God isn't going to do that for me, if I thought this would happen and it didn't happen, if God promised this and I didn't get it. You see, we can become disappointed when God doesn't do what we think God would do. And that's a weight that keeps us from running the race. Thirdly, when we become discouraged and disappointed, the last one I put down here is disillusionment. We can become disillusioned. Where we don't see things the way God sees things. We don't see things going in the right direction. We don't see things the right way anymore. And we become disillusioned with life. And disillusioned with our faith. When these three things tend to want to weight us down, we need to go back to look around. We need to go back to Hebrews 11 and look at those men and women of faith who took on the same challenges that we have in life and who by faith were able to continue to believe that God had good things in store for them. And so when we begin to run the race, we need to drop the things that hinder us and keep us from running the race. And we need to look down at those things around us. And so I also want to look at the fact, and he goes on to say, not only the weight that hinders us, but the sin that so easily entangles us. We need to understand that if we're going to run the race, and Paul talks about this, that the one who wants to win the race has to train the body. Paul talks about the fact that I beat my body. I think it's the King James who would say, I buffet my body. Anybody heard that before? But you see, I translate that a little bit differently, and I say, I buffet my body. That's not what you do for running. But you see, the sin that so easily entangles us and keeps us from running the race are the things that we want to do that do not enhance the race in which we run. Things that we can say, oh, it's not going to matter. It's not going to hurt anything. It's not going to hurt anybody. But it trips us up. And it entangles us. Literally, the word means it wraps itself around us. It gathers around us. And keeps us from running the race. So if we're going to run the race, we need to look around, see those of us who have there to encourage us, to help us to run the race. And then we need to take off the things which will hinder us and drop down the things which weigh us down and the sin which entangles us. And then thirdly, we need to, here's the good news, we need to what? We need to look up. Look up. What's he tell us to do? Verse 2? Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Now we need to recognize the fact that when we walk into the arena and we look around us, you can't run the race by looking around. You have to run the race by fixing your eyes on the goal, where we're going. And the writer here says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he is the what? Author and perfecter of your faith. The idea of the author means he's the one who institutes it. He's the one who founds it. He is the beginning of your faith. He's the one you come to for faith in Christ. So we recognize that Jesus is the one who starts it for us. He's the one who makes it possible through faith in Christ. Have your sins forgiven. Begin running the race for Him and with Him. And so we see He is the author. He's the one who begins it, and then He's the end of it as well. Literally it says, He's the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The NIV, perfecter of our faith. The word there means He is the one who brings it to completion. Anybody here got Philippians 1:6 memorized? I think, is it, help me, you might have to help me out on this. I think it's Stephen Curtis Chapman who wrote the song, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to what? Complete it. Right? Did I get it right? Anybody know? Is it Stephen Curtis Chapman? Did I get the right one? I'm not sure who said it, but anyways. All right? He who began a good work in you, the author, will be faithful to complete it. The finisher. That's what the author, that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. The one who begins the faith in us and the one who brings it to completion. He is the beginning and the end. For who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame. And so we see that Jesus is the one we look at for the joy. Jesus is the one we look at who was willing to go to the cross out of the joy set before Him. Now help me out with this a little bit, would you? When Jesus was in the Garden of the Gethsemane, about ready to go, know He's going to be arrested, taken to the cross, He was like really happy, right? That He gets to go to the cross. I mean, he had great tears of joy flowing down His face, right? No, we all know that that's not true. We all know that Jesus struggled with the knowledge that He's going to go to the cross, that He's going to pay the price and the penalty for the sins of the world. He knew that it was all going to be placed upon Him. So how can we say for the joy set before Him? Some scholars will say that He was looking ahead past the cross to what's going to happen afterwards and the joy that He has now. That can be. But we recognize that as the writer of Hebrews talks about the joy of Christ, we recognize, and actually the idea set before Him here is the same thing talking about the course set before us in verse 1. Who for the joy that was set in front of Him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and went there to bear the cross for you and for me. So whenever we think we can't keep on going, we can fix our attention on Him. The one who made it all possible by enduring the cross for us, bearing its shame for us, taking the pain and the nails and the suffering should have been for us. He endured the cross, scorning its shame. And thus they put down here, and now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the one who now has seated. His work is finished. I put down here, He's sitting and saying, because we looked at that back in earlier in Hebrews, that Jesus is now our advocate, our high priest, who is there speaking to God on our behalf. And so let's fix our eyes on Jesus as we run the race. We have to look up and look to Jesus in order to complete the race. And lastly, with this I close, number 4, look ahead. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Don't give up. Look ahead. And I put down here, consider the race of which you run. Consider the course in which God has laid out for us. For God has set for us the race marked out ahead of time for us. God has laid out the course for us. So we can look ahead to what God has in store for us as we run the race with perseverance that God has intended for us. Next week, we'll look more at that, looking at the struggle and the discipline that God has. Well, isn't this life going to be easy? We're going to look at the fact that no, God doesn't give us an easy race. He gives us a strengthening race. For if God gave us an easy race, our faith would not be strengthened. But God gives us a difficult race to run, so that He can prepare us ahead of time for it. So consider the race laid out for us. Consider Jesus, who goes before us. Consider He's the one who has already endured the opposition from sinful men. He is the one who has already been the one who has spoken of ahead of us, that was scorned and shamed. Consider Jesus. And then lastly, I put down here, consider the prize. Paul says it best, I've finished the race, I've completed the course, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness that will be awarded to me on that day and to all those who also run the race. Consider the prize that we have as we run the race. Why? So you don't grow weary and lose heart. Because when you grow weary and lose heart, what do you want to do? You want to give up. The writer of Hebrews says, listen, considering this great crowd of witnesses that have gone on before us, considering the race that we're about to run, run the race with endurance and perseverance, setting aside that which slows us down and draws us down, and let's run with perseverance, looking to Jesus, the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith, so that we do not grow weary and lose heart in running the race. Amen? Amen. Don't give up. Continue to run the race with perseverance that God has laid out for us.